This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. All right, alhamdulillah. You're able to hear me, I guess? Okay, good. Okay. Let's begin. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. So inshallah we'll begin from ayah number 21 and we will do the word for word translation first and then begin the tafsir. وَقَالَ, and he said, الَّذِي, the one who, اشْتَرَاهُ, he purchased him, مِنْ, from, مِصْرَ, Egypt, لِمْرَأَتِهِ, to his wife. أَكْرِمِي, you make honorable, مَثْوَاهُ, his place of residence, or his stay. عَسَى, it may be, on that, يَنْفَعَنَا, he will benefit us, أَوْ, or, نَتَّخِذَهُ, we will take him, وَلَدَا, as a son. وَكَذَلِكَ, and thus, مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفْ, we firmly established Yusuf, فِي, in, الْأَرْضِ, the land. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ, and so that we teach him, مِنْ, of, تَأْوِيل, interpretation, الْأَحَادِيثِ, of the dreams, or of the events, or of the statements. Wallahu, and Allah, غالبٌ, is one who prevails, على, in regard to, أمره, his command, or his matter, ولكن, but indeed, أكثر, most, الناس, of the people, لا, not, يعلمون, they know. ولما, and when, بلغ, he reached, أشدَّه, his maturity, آتيناه, we gave him, حكمًا, judgment, وَعِلْمَ, and knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ, and thus, نَجْزِي, we recompense, الْمُحْسِنِينَ, those who do good with excellence. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ, and she tried to sway him, الَّتِي, the woman who, هُوَ, he, فِي, was in, بَيْتِهَا, her house. عَنْ, from, نَفْسِهِ, his resolve. وَغَلَّقَتْ, and she tightly shut, الْأَبْوَابَ, the doors. وَقَالَتْ, and she said, هَيْتَ لَكْ, come here quickly, you. قَالَ, he said, مَعَاذَ, I seek refuge, Allah in Allah. إِنَّهُ, indeed the fact is, رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ, my Rabb made excellent, or my master made excellent. مَثْوَايَ, my place of residence, or my stay. إِنَّهُ, indeed the fact is, La, not, yuflihu, they succeed, al-zalimun, those who do wrong. Walaqad, and indeed, hammat, she was determined, bihi, in regard to him. Wahamma, and he would have been determined, biha, in regard to her. Lawla, if not for the fact, an, that, ra'a, he saw, burhan, proof, rabbihi, of his rabb. Kadhalika, thus, لِنَصْرِفَ, so that we turn away, عَنْهُ, from him, أَسُّ, the evil, وَالْفَحْشَاء, and the outrageous deed, إِنَّهُ, indeed he, مِنْ, was among, عِبَادِنَا, our slaves, الْمُخْلَصِينَ, those who are chosen. وَاسْتَبَقَ, and they too raced to, الْبَاب, the door. وَقَدَّتْ, and she tore, قَمِيصَهُ, his shirt, مِن, from, دُبُرٍ, the back. وَأَلْفَيَا, and they too found, سَيِّدَهَا, her husband, لَدَا, by, الْبَاب, the door. قَالَتْ, she said, مَا, what, جَزَاء, is recompense, مَن, of who, أَرَادَ, he intended, بِأَهْلِكَ, in regard to your wife, سُوءًا, evil. إِلَّا, except, أَن, that, يُسْجَنَ, he be imprisoned, أَوْ, or, عَذَابٌ, a punishment, أَلِيم, ever painful. قَالَ, he said, هِيَ, she, رَاوَدَتْنِي, she tried to sway me, عَنْ, from, نَفْسِي, my resolve. وَشَهِدَ and he testified, شَاهِدٌ a witness, مِنْ from أَهْلِهَا her family, in if كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ his shirt was, قُدَّ it was torn, مِنْ from قُبُلٍ the front, فَصَدَقَتْ then she has told the truth. وَهُوَ and he is, مِنْ among الْكَاذِبِينَ those who lie. وَإِنْ and if كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ his shirt was, قُدَّ it was torn, مِنْ from دُبُرٍ the back, فَكَذَبَتْ then she has lied. وَهُوَ and he is, مِنْ among الصَّادِقِينَ those who are truthful. فَلَمَّا then when رَأَى he saw that قَمِيصَهُ his shirt, قُدَّ it was torn, مِنْ from دُبُرٍ the back, قَالَ he said, إِنَّهُ indeed it, مِنْ is from كَيْدِكُنْ your conspiracy. إِنَّ indeed كَيْدَكُنَّ your conspiracy عَظِيمٌ is ever great. يُوسُفُ يُوسُف أَعْرِضْ you turn away عَنْ from هَذَا this. وَاسْتَغْفِرِي and you seek forgiveness لِذَنْبِكِ for your sin. إِنَّكِ indeed you كُنْتِ you have been مِنْ among الْخَاطِئِينَ those who sin. وَقَالَ and said نِسْوَةٌ a group of women في in المدينة the city امرأة wife العزيز of the عزيز تراود she tries to sway فتاها her servant عن from نفسه his resolve قد indeed شغفها he has smitten her heart حب with love إنا indeed we لنراها surely we see her في in ضلال error مبين clear فلما so when سمعت she heard بمكرهن of their plot أرسلت إليهن she invited them وأعتدت and she prepared لهن for them متكأ a banquet وآتت and she gave كل every واحدة single one منهن of them سكينة a knife وقالت and she said أخرج you come out عليهن to them فلما then when رأينه they saw him أكبرنه they were in awe of him وقطعنا and they cut أيديهن their hands وقلنا and they said حاشا لله perfect is Allah or Allah forbid ما not هذا this بشرا is a human being in not هذا this إلا is except ملك an angel كريم honorable قالت she said فذلكن so that O you all الذي is the one who لمتنني you all blamed me فيه in regard to him ولقد and indeed راودته I tried to sway him عن from نفسه his resolve فاستعصم but he abstained ولئن and surely if لم يفعل he does not do ما what أمره I command him ليسجنن surely he will indeed be imprisoned وليكونن and surely he will indeed be من among الصاغرين those who are humiliated قال he said ربي my رب السجن the prison أحب is more beloved إلي to me مما than what يدعونني they call me إليه to it وإلا and if not تصرف you turn away عني from me كيدهن their conspiracy أصبو I will incline إليهن to them وأكون and I will be من among الجاهلين those who are ignorant فاستجاب so he positively responded له to him ربه his رب فصرف then he turned away عنه from him كيدهن their conspiracy إنه indeed he هو he truly السمير is the ever hearing العليم the ever knowing ثم then بدا it became apparent لهم to them من بعد ما after رأوا they saw الآيات the signs ليسجننه that surely they should indeed imprison him حتى حين for a time. All right, back to ayah number 21. Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ And the one from Egypt who bought him. So now we are beginning the third chapter of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. In the first section, we saw how Yusuf alayhi salam had a dream. He shared it with his father. His father told him the interpretation. In the second chapter, we saw, or in the second part of the story, we saw how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam conspired against him and how they threw him in the well. And then some travelers picked him up and they sold him. Now, in this third section of the story, we see how when Yusuf alayhi salam was sold as a slave, what happened after that? Imagine a child, and that also child, a beloved child of a prophet of Allah, is sold as a slave. Now, this is, of course, extremely unfair and very, very difficult to understand and very, very difficult to deal with. But we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created ease for Yusuf alayhi salam. And even though something so terrible happened to Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still brought good out of that situation for His servant Yusuf alayhi salam. So in ayah number 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ The person who purchased him. اشْتَرَى is to purchase. So the man who bought Yusuf alayhi salam min Misra, and this man was from Egypt. So this shows that Yusuf alayhi salam, remember he was in Palestine, and from there he was taken all the way to Egypt, and he was sold as a slave. So the man who bought him in Egypt, what did he say? He said limra'atihi to his wife. He said to his wife that akrimi mathwahu. Make his residence comfortable. Whose residence? The residence of Yusuf alayhi salam. And this shows us that Yusuf alayhi salam, he was such that, you know, this man, he really liked Yusuf alayhi salam. You know, Yusuf alayhi salam was still very young. He was still a child. And, you know, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Musa alayhi salam such that the moment the Fir'aun's wife saw him, you know, she liked that baby, right? And she defended that baby. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about that, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي That I am the one who cast love on you from myself, meaning I made you lovable. So even though every baby was being killed at that time, Musa alayhi salam was not killed, right? And just like that, Yusuf alayhi salam is sold as a slave, but look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him, that the person who bought him said to his wife that you make his residence good. Why make his residence good? عَسَى أَن يَنْفَعْنَا Because it's quite possible that he will benefit us. أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا Or perhaps we can take him, we can adopt him as our own child. Now I want you to look at the word akrimi. You see the word akrimi, the ya at the end, by the way, is for feminine because this man is addressing his wife. So akrimi. And akrimi, this is from ikram. And ikram is to treat someone with honor, right? To treat someone with generosity and courtesy. And mathwa means two things. Either it can refer to the place of residence, meaning the place where Yusuf alayhi salam was to stay. Or it can refer to the stay of Yusuf alayhi salam with these people. So he told his wife, akrimi mathwahu, meaning treat him with generosity in terms of giving him food, in terms of, you know, his clothing, in terms of where he's going to stay, be generous with him. And then secondly, it also means treat him with honor, meaning be kind to him. Don't be harsh with him. Don't overburden him with work. Akrimi mathwahu. Be good to him. Be generous to him. Be kind towards him. And the word mathwa is from thawawiya. Mathwa is a place of residence or to stay in a place for a long time. So treat him nicely. So this shows that this man, not only did he like Yusuf alayhi salam himself, he also told his wife to be good to him. And he gave a reason. He said, "Asa an yanfa'na, perhaps he will benefit us." Meaning if we are good to him, if we keep him well, he will be of good service to us. And this shows us that really when you invest in something, when you are good to someone, then you also receive benefit, right? So he said, if we are good to him, it's quite possible that he is of good service to us. And if, you know, eventually we sell him, we'll make good money if we've raised him well. So عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا, or perhaps we can take him as our child. And this shows us very clearly that, you know, this man who bought Yusuf alayhi salam, he did not have any children of his own. So he wanted to raise Yusuf alayhi salam like his own family. And this is something so amazing. You see, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam threw him away, right? The travelers, they sold him into slavery. And here came a man who was so good to Yusuf alayhi salam that he wants to raise him as his own. And he didn't just treat Yusuf alayhi salam good himself, he also told his wife, he told his family that you should also be good to him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, you know, he said that there were three people who had the most insight. And these were, first of all, this man who bought Yusuf alayhi salam when he told his wife to be good to Yusuf. And secondly, the woman who said to her father that, oh my father, hire Musa alayhi salam. And then thirdly, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he appointed Umar radiallahu anhu as the Khalifa after him. So this man was truly intelligent. He saw something in Yusuf alayhi salam, and he invested in him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفِ, and thus we established Yusuf alayhi salam. مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, in the land. Which land? The land of Egypt. And the word مَكَّنَّا, this is from the root ميم كاف نون. مَكَّنَّا is to make something strong and firm. And here it means that Yusuf alayhi salam was established, meaning given a home. Given a place to feel secure, given a place to feel like it was his own. مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Why? وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, and so that we may teach him of the interpretation of dreams. So we see that Yusuf alayhi salam didn't end up in the house of this man by chance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا, we are the ones who established Yusuf in the land. This was not accidental. Okay, this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. And notice the word kadhalika. Kadhalika means just as, just like that. Meaning just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Yusuf alayhi salam from his brothers, now Allah is the one who caused him to settle in the land. Right? And if you think about it, initially his brothers thought of killing him, but then they decided not to kill him, right? So who saved Yusuf alayhi salam over there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. And now who brought him in the house of this man? Out of all the different places that Yusuf alayhi salam could have ended up in, he ended up over here, right? So this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. And notice how Yusuf alayhi salam was in Palestine, right? And Palestine compared to Egypt was of course very backward in terms of worldly advancement. So he was uprooted from Palestine and he was well settled in Egypt. And this was quite an upgrade. And كَذَلِكَ, likewise, meaning previously, in the previous episode, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Yusuf alayhi salam. He put him in hardship. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him ease, right? He could have died in the well, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled those travelers to come. He could have fallen into very bad hands, but those travelers sold him very quickly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established Yusuf alayhi salam in the land. And now if you think about it, in the house of this man, Yusuf alayhi salam got an easy life, right? He was treated well. He was treated very generously, very kindly. He was almost raised as, part of the family. And so he didn't have any worry or concern. And if you compare to how he was previously back at home, imagine, you know, when there is one person even who is jealous of you, they mistreat you, right? And if there's two or three people who are jealous of you, of course, that mistreatment is going to be multiplied. 10 brothers of his were jealous of him, right? And he lived with them. So this means that, you know, he saw them. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him out of there, extracted him from that toxic environment, and put him in the house of this man where he was secure, he was treated generously and kindly. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ. Thus, we established Yusuf in the land. And this shows us that, you know, hardship is not permanent, right? Yusuf alayhi salam endured a very difficult, trial where he was thrown in the well, separated from his father, sold into slavery. But then there was also ease. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, that سَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا, that Allah will create after difficulty ease. So with hardship is ease, and then after hardship is also ease. So وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Why was Yusuf alayhi salam brought here in the house of this man and in Egypt? Why was he made to go through all of these changes? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a certain plan. And what was that? لِنُعَلِّمَهُ. So that we teach him. In order that we give him knowledge. Knowledge of what? تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Interpretation of dreams. Remember that when Yusuf alayhi salam shared his dream with his father interpreted that dream for him. Right? He said that Allah will give you knowledge of interpretation of dreams. And remember that when a dream is interpreted in a certain way, then that is how exactly it happens, which is why we must always interpret dreams in the best way. So exactly as Yaqub alayhi salam had interpreted, now Yusuf alayhi salam was going to be given knowledge of the interpretation of dreams. But now, if you think about it, why this knowledge, right? I mean, of course, Yusuf alayhi salam being a prophet of Allah, he was given other types of knowledge as well. But why is the knowledge of interpretation of dreams mentioned specifically, right? There is a reason behind that. You see, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, there are four dreams that are mentioned. Okay, there are four dreams that are mentioned. First of all, there is the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam. Then there are the two dreams of the inmates. And then finally, there is the dream of the king. Okay, and we see that Yusuf alayhi salam, yani his success, or you can say his relief from the difficulty that he was in, it began from where? The opening, the relief came from where? From the dream that the king had. Okay, from the dream that the king had. Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted that dream, and that is how he was brought out of prison. And that is how he was raised to the level of the finance minister or whatever position that he was given. Yani, the dream is what became the sabab. All right, the dream, the interpretation of the dream is what became the cause for Yusuf alayhi salam's success. And this is something so amazing. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give his servant, you know, different blessings directly and also through different means, right? When it comes to learning knowledge, for example, right? You know, we think that the only way of gaining knowledge is that you study, a book, you study with a teacher, etc. You go to the best school, etc. Or you study in the foundational years of your life. But remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives something to his servant, okay, he can give it through any means that he wants. So at the end of the day, it's not about the thing, the sabab through which you are being given a blessing. It's the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a certain blessing. So, وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. We gave him knowledge of the interpretation of dreams, and this knowledge was crucial for Yusuf alayhi salam's success. And then, and also remember that knowledge, I mean, in order to learn that, there are several things that are needed. You need time, you need experience, you need the ability to, contemplate. And given the place where Yusuf alayhi salam was in, he had no concern, right, except to busy himself with ilm. Because his master was very generous. He was very kind towards him. He wanted to raise him as his own child. So Yusuf alayhi salam had no shughul, no hum, and no concern, no worry, except for the ilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to give him. So وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. And Allah is ghalib over his affair. Ghalib, Allah is predominant. He prevails over his amr. Now, his amr, amrihi, this is interesting. One way of looking at amrihi is to interpret this as his command, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides something, then he prevails over it, meaning that he makes it happen and there is no one that can resist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. No one that can avoid it, no one that can fight it, no one that can resist it. Allah's decree, his decision prevails no matter what, because wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. And then secondly, amrihi, we can also understand this as his affair, meaning the affair of Yusuf alayhi salam. This is so amazing. You see, different people were trying to dictate what should happen to Yusuf alayhi salam, isn't it? If you look at his brothers, they wanted him gone. They wanted him to be separated from his father, right? So, they wanted to decide what should happen with Yusuf. They wanted Yusuf alayhi salam to suffer, to be deprived. Well, did they succeed in that? No, because Allah is the one whose decree prevailed in regard to Yusuf alayhi salam. Meaning whatever Allah wanted for Yusuf alayhi salam happened, not what other people wanted for him. The travelers sold him as a slave. And what do you think is going to happen to a child who is sold into slavery? Right, there is, you can only imagine the worst. But it was Allah's decision regarding Yusuf alayhi salam that prevailed, not what other people wanted for him. And this is something that is so liberating, because sometimes we are afraid about people trying to harm us, or people trying to stop us, or people trying to prevent us from doing what we want to do. But remember that what people want for us, right, is not necessarily going to happen. What is going to happen is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for us. And this is why it is so important that we keep calling upon Allah, we have the best expectation of Allah, and we mend our relationship with Allah, because we're only safe if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us safe. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi, walakinna aktharu an-nasi la ya'lamun. But most of the people do not know. Most of the people do not know that it is Allah's decision that prevails, and that there is no avoiding it whatsoever. And most of the people do not know, they do not understand the wisdom behind his decree. Because on the surface it seems so unfair that, wow, Yusuf alayhi salam, if Allah likes him, if he was such a good child, if he was such a good person, if he was meant to be a prophet, why was he made to go through all of this difficulty? You don't understand the wisdom. We don't understand the wisdom, right? So, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Now, remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advised Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, right? He said that you should know that if the entire creation were to gather together to do something to benefit you, you would never get any benefit except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you. And if they were to gather together to harm you, again, they will not be able to harm you except with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already written for you. So do not fear people. And never ever view yourself as a victim. That, you know what, I am suffering from this because people did this and people did that to me. Right? Because remember that it's Allah's decree that prevails. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring about the best from the worst. You know, from something that is very, very terrible. Anyway, what happened with Yusuf alayhi salam was indeed terrible. But look at the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out of every situation that he was put in. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Okay, the next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tells us, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. And when Yusuf reached his ashud. Now, ashud is generally translated as maturity. Basically, the word ashud is from shidda, okay, shin dal dal, and shidda is toughness, all right? And ashud is the state of strength, okay, the state of strength. When a person is physically strong, mentally strong, emotionally strong, so this is why generally ashud is translated as maturity, okay? So, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, when he reached a state of strength, both tangible strength and intangible strength, right? Then what happened? أَتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave him wisdom, good judgment, and also knowledge. And hukm, good judgment or wisdom, this has also been translated as prophethood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him prophethood and also knowledge, divine knowledge, or you could also understand this as the knowledge of the interpretation of dreams. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him this? وَكَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And thus we reward those who do ihsan, those who do good work. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, he was given prophethood while he was a slave. He was given knowledge, even though he was still a slave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he gave him hukum and ilm when Yusuf reached ashud. Okay. Now, what age was this? How old was he when he was given prophethood? Now, in general, we know that prophets were typically given prophethood at the age of 40, right? But when it comes to Yusuf alayhi salam, because of this ayah, right, some argue that he was actually given prophethood before he was 40 years old. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When he reached his ashud, he was given prophethood and knowledge. And what is ashud? Imam Malik and others say that ashud is actually puberty. Okay, so soon after he reached puberty. And when it comes to Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى. Right, وَاسْتَوَى. And, you know, there's an additional description over there. And that was more likely around the age of 40. Okay, but for Yusuf alayhi salam, وَاسْتَوَى, you know, that age of really maturing, which is around the age of 40, that is not mentioned over here. Okay, so this is why some said that perhaps he was 20 years old, right? Or he was 33 years old, right? Or younger or older. But the point is that Yusuf alayhi salam was still young, okay, when he was given prophethood. Not a child, but he had reached puberty, but he was not much older. So when he was capable of carrying that responsibility, when he was ready to handle that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hukum and ilm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Thus do we reward the muhsineen. which means that Yusuf alayhi salam was a muhsin. Now, who is a muhsin? Muhsin is someone who does ihsan. And ihsan is to be excellent, to be good, yani in what a person is doing. So what was the excellence, or what was the goodness of Yusuf alayhi salam? What was he good in? What was he excellent in? He was excellent in both, in his worship and also in his dealings with people. When it comes to worship, his ihsan was that he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with excellence. And you think about it, a slave, he doesn't have much freedom, right? But with that, you know, he did not neglect worship. And not just worshipping for the sake of just getting over it, but worshipping beautifully, worshipping, you know, sincerely. And this is something that we really need to think about, because a lot of people, you know, they feel trapped in their lives, right? What happens is, and this is something that a lot of women experience, that they feel like they don't have any control or freedom in their lives, right? That the moment that they open their eyes, their obligations towards their family begins, or, you know, it carries on until they fall asleep. Or even men, it happens that, you know, they have work, and then one thing after the other, you know, you finish one thing and then another obligation begins. It's as if you were being pulled into so many different directions. But Yusuf alayhi salam was still a muhsin in worship, even though he was a slave. So this means that no matter how busy we are, no matter how many obligations we have, no matter how many directions we are being pulled into, we must make time for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must do that in order to have some sanity in our lives. This is for our own good. And there is a hadith in which we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O son of Adam, tafarrag li ibadati, be free for my worship, make time for my worship. And when you will do that, I will fill your heart with contentment. I will remove your poverty. And if you do not do that, I will, the meaning is that I will not remove your poverty, and your busyness will never end. So we must make time for worship. So وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. What was his other ihsan? His ihsan was also towards the servants, right? Yani as the servants of Allah, towards people. Meaning as a slave, he had obligations and he fulfilled them, right? So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for good except good? Meaning, if you do good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you good. When you bring benefit to others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you benefit. Right? So, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now, one thing I want you to notice over here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him prophethood, knowledge, and wisdom, where? Good judgment, where? In Egypt. Not when Yusuf alayhi salam was in the comfort of his home. Why? Because in order to, get somewhere in life, or in order to achieve bigger goals, you have to go through the difficulty. You know, hikmah and knowledge is not given in a gift bag, okay? It is something that you learn through experience, through the ups and downs of life, right? So Yusuf alayhi salam was brought out of the comfort of his home and the protection of his father, and he was put in this difficult environment, right? And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hukum and ilm. Now what happened? Just as difficulties don't last forever, good times also don't last forever, right? Now came another test for Yusuf alayhi salam. And this test was actually much bigger and much more difficult than the one before it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ. And she tried to seduce him. Okay. Who tried to seduce him? Allati, the one who. Huwa fi baytiha, he was in her house. Which means that this was the wife of the man who had purchased Yusuf alayhi salam, the same woman whom her husband told her that you treat Yusuf well. Remember that when they when he purchased Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam was still a child, right? He was very he was young, and now that he became he was older, of course he was he was no longer a child, so he was a man, an adult, very handsome, very attractive, and his beauty became a source of great trial for him. So now what happened? Rawadatu. Now what is this word rawadatu? Rawadatu is from the root letters ra wa dal, and rada is to search for something, okay? To search for land especially in order to feed on it, in order to take animals for pasture. And from the same root is the word irada, which is to intend something, right? To desire something. And rawada an, as we can see over here, rawadatu allati huwa fi baytiha an nafsihi. Right? Rawada an. Rawada an is to try to persuade someone else. Okay? It is to endeavor, because this rawada, there is effort over here, to endeavor, to put in effort in order to turn someone away from their resolve, okay? Meaning it is basically to try to convince someone to do what you want them to do, to get them to change their intention, okay? To get them to agree with you, to seek to persuade them. So وَرَاوَدَتُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. This woman tried to seduce him. And what was this intention of hers? What did she want? She wanted him to be intimate with her. Now, like I mentioned earlier, this was a greater test than the one before it. You see, when Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in the well, what option did he have, any other than patience? He couldn't do anything, right? I mean, if he screamed, if he was angry, if he threatened his brothers, if he if he intended to take revenge, what could he do? He had no option except to bear that difficulty with patience, right? And this is like when a person is sick, they're unwell, they have no other option except to be patient, right? But when you are in a test where you have the option of being patient, right, being firm, or not to be patient, that is where you're really being tested, okay? That is where you're really being examined. That is where real sabr shows. So here, Yusuf alayhi salam was tested in another way. What happened? This woman tried to seduce him. Now, we see over here how Yusuf alayhi salam is now facing another test. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually told us, he said, the example of a believer is that of a standing crop, okay, which the air continues to toss from one side to another. Okay, now imagine standing crop. There is a gust of air, wind from one direction, it gets blown in that direction, then from the other direction gets blown into a different direction. And he said, in the same way, a believer always receive the strokes of misfortune. Meaning every now and then, there is another bala', there is another tribulation, there is another test, right? This doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the believer. No, astaghfirullah. This doesn't mean that the believer is being punished all the time. No, there's different reasons behind that bala', right? There's purification, there is growth, right? There is the opportunity to keep turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay humble. So another test came in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, where this woman, basically his master's wife, was in love with him. And rawadatu, she continued to flirt with him, She continued to, try to seduce him, not once, but over and over again, because she really wanted to be with him. And, this was very, very difficult. On the one hand, it's amazing how this woman, she was certainly older than him. Her status was also different, but, lust is something that is blinding. So she flirted with him, and when he did not reciprocate and he kept avoiding, she openly called him. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ She locked the doors. غَلَّقَتْ تَغْلِيقْ غَيْن لَامْ قَافْ And تَغْلِيقْ is to firmly shut a door, to shut tightly. Okay? And تَغْلِيقْ also shows not just one door, but multiple doors. And غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, that's also mentioned. Abwab is the plural of bab. So she locked multiple doors so that no one would be able to come to where she was with him. So غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, she locked all the doors. And then وَقَالَتْ, and she said, هَيْتَ لَكْ, come here. Now, this word هَيْتَ لَكْ, there's a lot of difference as to what this word really is. Is it a noun? Is it a verb? Is it a command? But basically, it means halumma lak, right? Which means come quickly, right? Come here quickly. And the ka lak means you. So come here, you, quickly, right away. And secondly, the hayta lak has also been recited as Huyitulak, which means that I'm ready for you. I'm all yours. Come. So she openly invited him to do zina. And this is so difficult because, notice the power dynamics over here. Huwa fi baytiha, first of all. He was in her house, meaning that he was her slave, right? He had to obey her. And this is all he knew, that whatever she says, he's supposed to do, because she is the, the one in charge, and he is the slave, right? And now consider the fact that he is a young man, and consider the fact that she is the one who is inviting him. And now consider the fact that the doors are all closed, right? And now she is openly telling him, she's been pursuing him for a long time, right? Rawadatu. And now she is openly telling him, commanding him, Haytalak. The odds are all against him. And what is his response? What does he do? Does he just give up? No. He says, Qala ma'adallah. He said, I seek refuge with Allah. Ma'adallah. He turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you protect me. You save me. Because it is only Allah who could protect him over here. He did not have any authority himself. No third person was going to come to rescue him from there, right? It was a very awkward, a very, very difficult situation for him, where he not only had to fight himself, right? And he also had to resist this open, instruction from his master. So he said, Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge with Allah. And then he says, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ Indeed, the fact is that Rabbi, my Rabb, has أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ has been very good to me in my place of residence. Now, who is Rabbi? The word Rabb, remember, Rabb means master, right? And a lot of times, people would, and still do, they use the word Rabb to refer to master. So for example, in one of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَبَّةُ بَيْتِهَا that the woman is the Rabbah, meaning the master of her house, meaning she will be held accountable for how she manages things in her house. So Rabb, master. So who is Yusuf ﷺ referring to? He's referring to the man who purchased him, right? His master, the woman's husband. That he has ahsana mathwai, he has made my place of residence and my entire stay over here so excellent. He has been so good to me. How could I betray him like this? I cannot betray him. How is it that he fed me and I bite his hand? No way. How is it that he was so generous to me and I cheat him in regards to his personal life? No way. Rabbi ahsana mathwai. And then secondly, Rabb can also refer to my Rabb, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so good to me, how could I disobey him? That would not be right. And this is something that we need to remember, that the reason why we don't commit sin is because, A, yes, sin is wrong in and of itself. But also because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so good to us, how could we respond with disobedience? And when it's a sin against people, when people have been good to us, how can we reciprocate with such treachery? إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. And then he said, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Indeed, the wrongdoers do not succeed. They can never ever succeed. الظالمون, plural of ظالم. Those who commit injustice. And injustice, this can be towards oneself by committing sin. Injustice towards the master that, he is good to me and I betray him. Such people can never be successful. And this is something that we need to remember. That a zani, someone who commits zina, right, fornication, they're actually committing dhulm against themselves. And they will never be successful. So every person who commits dhulm is going to suffer loss in one way or another. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The wrongdoers do not succeed. So now, just picture this, what a difficult situation this is. And Yusuf alayhi salam immediately seeks refuge in Allah. And he realizes that this would just be wrong. Right? I would be wronging myself. I would be wronging my master. And I would be showing immense ingratitude by committing a sin in the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me so much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. And certainly she was determined in regard to him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And he would have also been determined in regard to her. Now this word is interesting, هَم. You see, هَمِمِيم. هَم is to intend to do something, okay, and to desire to do something without having actually done it, okay? Meaning it's still, in your head. It's still in your heart. And that intention, of course, it can be very weak. It could just be the initial thought, or it can be at the level of determination that this is it, I'm doing it. So the woman, she was firmly, she had made up her mind that she was going to do zina with him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And Allah says in regard to Yusuf alayhi salam that he would have also determined, because think about the situation, all odds were against him. The power, it was not a leveled playing field. She had so much power over that situation and he did not. So he would have determined also, لولا أرآ برهان ربي, if he had not seen the proof of his Rabb. Meaning he would have fallen into that sin, but what protected him was the fact that he saw the burhan of his Rabb. Now, what is burhan? Burhan is an evidence, okay? A very strong, manifest proof, decisive evidence, the most valid, which is undeniable. So what was this burhan that he saw from his Rabb, right? What was this burhan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him at that time, which stopped him from committing this sin? If we look at the context, if we look at the previous ayah, it's the fact that he realized that this was wrong because Allah had been so good to him and his master had also been so good to him. And also the fact that wrongdoers, zalimun, are never successful. So this burhan was basically what? It was his ilm. Right? It was his ilm. You see, a lot of times we know what is right, what is wrong. We have that book knowledge. We have that information. But in that moment, in a certain moment, we forget what we know. We're not able to recall. We're not able to remember. And even if we remember, it doesn't really hit us. So we're not able to follow that knowledge, right? We're not able to implement it. We're not able to carry it out. So being able to remember the right thing at the right time, right? This is truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift to a person. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he saw the burhan, right? The burhan is referring to the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, the realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And then when we look at the different books of tafaseer, it is mentioned that the burhan was, he saw Jibreel, or that the face of his father appeared before him, or that he heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command to him to not obey this woman, to not do what was wrong. Whatever it was, the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from committing this sin. Remember that Yusuf alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. So he was innocent of sin. But at the same time, he was also human, right? And the fact is that he did restrain himself here, right? He did have that human desire, all right? And if he did not have that desire, and if he did not have to restrain himself, there would be no benefit in mentioning this over here, right? So the fact is that the temptation was there, right? The call to sin was there. And it's quite possible that he had initially intended, all right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And remember that there is no sin in the intention, okay? In a hadith, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his angels that when my servant intends to do something good, then record that intention as a good deed. And when he actually performs that good deed, then record it as 10 times its like. And when my servant intends to do something evil, right, commit a sin, then do not record it. Okay? If he commits it, then record it as one sin. And if he decides not to do it, he changes his mind, he restrains himself, right? She stops herself, then record it as a good deed. Subhanallah. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. This is why knowledge is so important. You know, your knowledge will, inshallah, protect you, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him ilm, and burhan is referring to ilm, right? The knowledge that he had, that saved him, that protected him. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. That is how we turned away from him evil and indecency. Yani he was at the brink of it. He was at the brink of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned it away from him. Sarafa anhu, saraf is to turn something away from someone. And Allah turned away su and fahsha, both from him. What is su? Evil. And what is the evil referring to? Khiyana, treachery. And what is fahshat referring to? Zina, fornication. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned both of these things away from him, so he did not cheat his master and he did not commit the act of zina. Innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him? Because indeed Yusuf was min ibadina al-mukhlasin. The fact is that he was from our servants. Which servants? Al-mukhlasin, those who are chosen. Mukhlasin is a plural of mukhlas, and mukhlas is the person who has been chosen. Mustafain. Why was he chosen? Why? The ulama say mukhlas is the one who is chosen because of his ikhlas, because of his sincerity. Meaning, when a person chooses Allah, right, only Allah, then Allah also chooses him. That when a person purifies their intention, that, you know what, I am Allah's servant, I want Allah's approval. If this is something that my Rabb does not approve of, I'm never going to do it. I am not going to do it, no matter how much people invite me, no matter how much they tell me, I am not going to do this. Then when a person makes himself sincere to Allah, then Allah also chooses him. Allah also saves him. Allah also protects them from committing that sin. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us amongst His chosen servants. You know, the hadith that I mentioned to you earlier about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas that if all of the people were to gather together to try to harm you, they wouldn't be able to. The hadith actually begins with the words of the Prophet that, "Oh young man, I will teach you some words. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him before you. If you ask, then ask only Allah. And if you seek help, then seek help only from Allah." And isn't this what Yusuf alayhi salam did over here? You see, he was mindful of Allah. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that strength, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned away that su' and fahsha from him. And then what happened? He was mindful of Allah. He was a muhsin from before, excellent in his worship, mindful, you know, when dealing with people, excellent in his dealings. And what happened? When he was in a difficult situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the right reminder at the right time. He gave him the ability to follow what he knew, right? That burhan came. And then what happened when he was in difficulty? Ma'adallah, I seek refuge with Allah. If you ask, then ask only from Allah. When you seek help, then seek help only from Allah. Meaning, don't think about yourself that, oh my God, I would never do that. This is just wrong. Don't think that you are something, you know, that you have the power to protect yourself. The human being is weak. Very, very weak. And especially when it comes to sexual desire, this is something that a lot of people, you know, they fail this test. They become weak over there. So don't rely on your own strength. Rely on who? On Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah to protect you. And the fact is that there is a lot of fitna. There's a lot of temptation. And no one is safe unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves that person. Now, one thing I want you to notice over here, and this is something that I mentioned earlier as well, that this was not a leveled playing field, right? Notice the power dynamics over here. This woman had immense power, okay? She was the master, right? The wife of the master. This was her house. She had been seducing him for a very long time. Right, she had closed the doors. She openly told him. And who was he? He was a slave. He was a man. And this is well known that a lot of men, they're weaker in this matter. But still he resisted. So remember, you can always say no. You have that power. Never underestimate the power of no. We feel pressured, right? There are many situations where we feel pressured, where we feel like, we can't say no, but you have that power. So don't rush. Don't rush to respond, because remember that hastiness is from shaitan, right? Take a breath, calm down, right? And slow down in your response and gather the courage to say no. And before that, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Remember Allah. And with the strength that Allah will give you, that is how you say no to the invitation of sin. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he said no. And you always have the power to say no. Remember Bilal radiallahu anhu. How much power did he have when he was tied up and he was being tortured and he was being dragged on sand and heavy rocks had been put on him? Right? How much power did he have over that situation? He didn't, but he still said ahad, ahad, right? He didn't do what people wanted him to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and keep us in His afia, you know, His special protection. But don't always, again, view yourself as a victim, that I had no choice. You always have a choice. You know, for example, when someone says you, when someone sends you inappropriate messages, you have the power to block them, right? When someone friends you and they're trying to get all friendly with you, you have the power to block them. You have that power. And if you don't use that power and you slowly, slowly slip into it, then you have no one to blame except yourself. So use the power of no. Look at what Yusuf alayhi salam did next. He didn't just stay there. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ He got out of that situation. He raced, both of them raced towards the door. Because when Yusuf alayhi salam ran, the woman ran after him. Now imagine, there's so much pressure. He's running away from her and she ran after him to stop him, right? So wastabaqa, istabaqa is to race. Sabaqa is to get ahead and istabaqa is to try to get ahead of someone else. So they both raced towards the door. Okay, and what happened as he was trying to get away and as she was trying to stop him, to bring him back, she grabbed his shirt, وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ and she tore his shirt. قَد is from قَاف دَلْدَلْ. She tore his shirt مِنْ دُبُرٍ from the back because she was behind him, right? He was trying to get away. So when she grabbed onto his shirt and he kept running away, his shirt got ripped. And as he's running away and she's behind him, وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ وَأَلْفَيَا and they both found. And lam fawaw is the root. This is when you find something unexpectedly. Okay, they both found سَيِّدَهَا her husband. Sayyid is master. And it also refers to husband. So they both found her husband لَدَ الْبَابِ by the door. SubhanAllah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects His servant. Right? That man came at the perfect time. And in this way, Yusuf alayhi salam was saved. So he was there. Now what happened? Now all of a sudden it was, she was afraid that if Yusuf alayhi salam says something, then she will not be able to defend herself. And if her husband finds out that she is, trying to sleep with her servant, this would be very difficult for her, marriage, etc. So immediately, she blames Yusuf alayhi salam. She accuses him. Qalat, she said, ma jaza'u, what should be the punishment of man arada bi ahlika su'an, of the person who intends evil with your ahl, with your wife. And look at how she's trying to get her husband to be on her side, right? And how she tries to portray herself as the victim. Basically, she's saying that Yusuf intended to do evil with me, meaning he tried to, rape me or something like that. Man arada bi ahlika su'an. So, what should be his punishment? Illa except an yusjana, that he should be imprisoned. Sijin is prison. Aw adabun alim, or that he should be given a painful punishment. Now, look at her. She accuses him. She becomes the judge, the jury, right? And she also passes the verdict, right? That he tried to do harm to evil to me. So you know what? He should either be put in prison right away, or he should be given a severe punishment. And she thought that would be over because Yusuf alayhi salam, being a slave, he would not do anything. He would not say anything. But what happened? Yusuf alayhi salam, he was not silent. And this is something important. There are situations where silence is best. And there are situations where silence is not the best response. So Yusuf alayhi salam, qala, he spoke over here. He said, hiya rawadatni an nafsi. It was she who sought to seduce me. Right? She tried to seduce me. She is the one who invited me to this. And he basically defended himself. And what happened now? وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا Now what happened? Both of them are basically accusing each other. So who is the person who is guilty? What's happening over here? They needed some circumstantial evidence, right? because there was no eyewitness. So now a circumstantial evidence was needed. So وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدُ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. A witness testified from her family, meaning someone from her side of the family. So of course they were certainly on her side. They supported her. They said that إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ, if his shirt is قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ, if it is torn from the front, فَصَدَقَتْ, then she is truthful, وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, and he is of the liars. Because if the shirt is torn from the front, then this means that he was trying to approach her and she tried to push him away. And in that, his shirt got ripped. So then she is truthful and he is lying. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ, but if his shirt is torn from the back, فَكَذَبَتْ, then she is lying, وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and he is of the truthful. How? Because this means that he is trying to get away and she is trying to pull him. So then that is how his shirt got ripped from the back. فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيصَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ. So when her husband saw that his shirt, meaning the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, it was ripped from the back, he said, قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ. He said, this is from your conspiracy. He's addressing his wife. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, your kaid, your conspiracy is truly great. Meaning this was all your plan, right? You tried to seduce him. And you locked all the doors and you tried to stop him. And you know what? When a woman traps a man like this, it's indeed a very great test for him. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. So now I want you to notice how Yusuf alayhi salam ran away. That he didn't just stay in the place where there was fitna. He actually ran away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a hadith in which we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it's not permissible for a believer to humiliate himself. And the Sahaba said that how would a believer humiliate himself? And he said that when the believer puts himself in trials which he cannot tolerate, which he cannot handle, which he doesn't have the strength to bear. Meaning when you let yourself be in situations where you know you're going to fall, you're going to slip, then you are humiliating yourself. So just as Yusuf alayhi salam got away from that room, just like that, we need to get away from the places, the situations, the apps, right? The environments where we know we slip. So what happened now? Yusuf alayhi salam's innocence was established. It was very obvious that he was not at fault. So this man, the woman's husband, he said, Yusufu a'rid an hadha. O Yusuf, you turn away from this. Basically, he's telling Yusuf alayhi salam to excuse this, to ignore it and to not speak about it, to just overlook what had happened. And this was so unfair. And many times this happens that the victim is told to just be silent, right? Why? In order to preserve the dignity and the honor of the aggressor. So Yusuf alayhi salam was told to ignore it, to not talk about it, to forgive. وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكَ. And this man told his wife, you seek forgiveness for your sin, because إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. Indeed, you have been of those who are sinful. You are at fault. And خَاطِئ is the one who does wrong deliberately. Now, this is really amazing. It shows the weakness of this man, right? That either he did not have much say in his family, because if you think about it, any other man, if he finds out that his wife is, she tried to sleep with their servant, that man would go crazy, right? Especially in a society like that. He would either divorce his wife or he would, take some kind of revenge somehow. She, after all, tried to betray him. Right? But this shows that this man was either not in a position to take any action against his wife, right? Or he did not care. And that also shows how empty this this marriage was, this relationship was. And perhaps, Allahu A'lam, perhaps that's the reason why this woman was more interested in Yusuf alayhi salam than her own husband, right? Allahu A'lam, what the situation was. But it shows the weakness of this man, that how he just tried to preserve his image. That's it. He tried to preserve his image before the society. And this is because this man was, of a high position. He's called Aziz in the coming verses. And Aziz is, governor or someone who is honorable, someone who has a high position. So he was just focused on preserving his image. He did not care about what Yusuf alayhi salam was suffering. And he did not really mind much as to what his wife did. So he said, إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ, and he tried to move on. But you see, this is what happens. When a criminal is not stopped, when a criminal is not disciplined, when they're not held responsible, what happens is that they go further in their crimes. And this is exactly what this woman did. She did not stop here. She went much further in trying to pursue Yusuf alayhi salam. Now this man tried to, the master, he tried to preserve his image, right? He didn't want anybody to find out about this, but everybody did find out about this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the next ayah, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, and the women in the city said, meaning now they're gossiping, they're talking, it's become the talk of the town. What has they said? Imra'atul Aziz, the wife of the Aziz. Aziz is the title of this man who purchased Yusuf alayhi salam, right, his master. And as I mentioned to you earlier, Aziz is from Izzah, so he's someone who has honor, so honorable one, right? And it can also mean might and power, so he had some, official position. Some say that, he was a finance minister, etc. There's different opinions, but the point is that he was not a lay person. He was someone who was well known in the society. He was honorable. He was a governor or something like that. So the women said that his wife is turawidu fataha. She is seeking to seduce her fata. Fata is servant or slave boy. She's been trying to sleep with him. An nafsi, from his resolve, meaning she's constantly trying to, get him to be with her. And then they said, قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا, he has smitten her with love. He has impassioned her with love. Now this word is interesting, شَغَفَ. You see, شِين غَيْنْفَ, شَغَف is the membrane enclosing the heart. Okay, it's the pericardium, okay, if I've pronounced it correctly. So it's the membrane enclosing the heart. So شَغَفَ is to break through that membrane. Okay, so basically, it is when something has gone through the casing of the heart and has reached the innermost part of the heart. Okay, so basically, she is deeply in love with him. But they say shagafaha hubba, he has penetrated her heart with love. Okay, meaning he must be something. So he must be a very big deal because of which she's so madly in love with her. And then they said, "Inna lanaraha fi dhalalin mubin." Indeed, we see her to be in clear error. This is just so wrong. She is the master. She is married. She is the wife of the Aziz. He is her slave, and she is really in love with him. Now the question is: was she really in love? Would you call this love? This was not love. This was lust, right? Lust is carnal. It's sexual, okay? And this is what this woman had, she did not care about anything else. She just sexually desired him. So these women of the town, they started talking about the wife of the Aziz like this. Why were they talking like this? Were they really concerned for her? No. They were saying this, they were talking about this as a trick. Okay, what was the trick? They basically wanted to see Yusuf alayhi salam. Okay, but he was a slave in the house. All right, so how could they see him? They wanted to see him. So these women started talking and talking and talking about the wife of Aziz. Why? So that somehow, they would get to see him. So what happened? فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ So when she heard of their scheming, she heard of their conspiracy. And what was their conspiracy? Talking about the scandal, right? Why? With the intention to see him. And this is why it's called makr. Okay? So on the surface, the women were saying that, Imra'atul Aziz is making such a huge mistake. But in their heart, they were really curious. They actually wanted to see Yusuf alayhi salam themselves. So when this woman heard about their scheming, أرسلت إليهن, she sent for them, meaning she invited all of them. وأعتدت لهن متكأ, and she prepared for them a متكأ. متكأ, a banquet. Basically, متكأ is from واو كاف همزة. اتكاء is to, recline, to lean against against a comfortable cushion or something like that. So متكأ is used to refer to a cushioned couch or a comfortable sitting place. And typically people sit like this, in a guest room, and there's typically food, etc. So a banquet is also called muttaka. So she prepared a banquet for them. And then when they all came and they're all sitting and the food has been served, what did she do? وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينَ She gave to every single woman among them a knife. She gave a sikkin, a knife, to every single one of them. And now they're using their knives. Why? To cut the fruit or whatever food that they have. And the knife is in their hand. They're cutting it. They're cutting the food. And what happened? At the same time, وَقَالَ تِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ She said to Yusuf alayhi salam, أُخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ Come out before them, meaning in front of them right now. So what happened? Yusuf alayhi salam, being a slave, he didn't have much choice. He came out. And when he came out, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ When the women saw him, أَكْبَرْنَهُ They deemed him great. أَكْبَرْنَ, this is from كَبُرَ, when you feel that something is great. So basically, they greatly admired him. Okay, meaning they were in awe of him. They were stunned by his beauty because they had never seen anyone like him before. And you can imagine now they're cutting the food in their hands and all of a sudden they're staring at him. They forgot about, what's in their hand and what they're doing. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ And they cut their hands. Okay? قَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ The plural of yad. Every woman accidentally cut her hand. And this is exactly what the wife of Aziz wanted. Because you see, all of these women called her foolish, right? They said that she's making a huge mistake. So she wanted to prove it to them that, look, I'm not making a huge mistake. I cannot help it. He's so handsome. Look at you. Now you have cut your own hands. وَقُلْنَا And the women said, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ This is an expression. And حَاشَ basically is when something is set aside. And حَاشَ لِلَّهِ means Allah is perfect. Meaning he has no imperfection. Okay, or حَاشَ لِلَّهِ also means مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ meaning I seek refuge with Allah, God forbid. So, either meaning, the point is that they were extremely shocked. Okay, they were absolutely stunned by his beauty. And they said, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا They said, this is not a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ He is only an angel that is honorable. He's an angel. He cannot be human. Why did they say this? Because truly, Yusuf alayhi salam was very, very good looking. And there is no doubt about that. And this shows us that where men, they find women attractive, the same is for women. Women also find men very, very attractive, right? And there are some men who are more attractive than others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them more beauty, more physical beauty. And Yusuf alayhi salam had been given more beauty than any other person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when he saw Yusuf alayhi salam on the night of Isra, he said, فَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُعْطِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ It was as if he was given half of all beauty, right? Half of all beauty, meaning the most beautiful man ever. So what happened now? قالت, this woman said, meaning the wife of Aziz said, فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِيهِ. So this is the one, meaning this man, Yusuf, is the same person in regards to whom you were blaming me. You were saying that I have gone crazy. Well, you tell me if I've gone crazy. And now look at her. She says, وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي. She admits openly. She says, I certainly sought to seduce him. But you know what? فَاسْتَعْصَمْ. He firmly refused. He got away. And this is such a powerful word. إِسْتَعْصَمْ. عَصَمَ, you know, to save or to protect oneself, to get away. إِسْتَعْصَمْ. He guarded himself, you know. He resisted the temptation very strongly. وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمُرُهُ. And now if he does not do what I tell him, if he doesn't listen to me, لَيُسْجَنَنَّ, then surely he will indeed be put in prison. وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ, and he will be of those who are debased. So we can see how when this woman was not stopped earlier, look at her, her dhulm now, her injustice, it's getting out of hand. And this is why it's important to stop people who do wrong right away. Do not, pretend like nothing happened just in order to preserve their dignity or your good name. No, criminals, aggressors must be stopped in their tracks before others become victims or their crimes get out of hand. So this woman, look at how she goes even further. She openly admits, she's so bold about her wrongdoing, and now she threatens Yusuf alayhi salam. She's using so much pressure against him. Yusuf alayhi salam, yani, look at how the fitna just got multiplied for him, right? Look at how the virus is now spreading. Before it was just one woman, and now all of these women. Qala, he said, Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya. Oh my Lord, the prison is more beloved to me, mimma yad'unani ilayhi, than that to which they invite me. These people are inviting me to sin, I'd rather go to prison. If that's the only place where I am safe from the sin, I'd rather go there. Wa illa tasrif anni kaydahun. And if you don't turn away from me their conspiracy, if you don't turn away their plotting against me, how they're trying to get me to commit a sin, asbu ilayhinna, I might incline towards them. Asbu is from sad ba waw, and sabwa is the inclination of the nafs. Okay, sabi from the same root as a child, because you know child is such that you just immediately get attracted towards a child, right? So asbu ilayhinna, and saba is to behave like a child. That children, you know, when they want something, they just, it doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter who it belongs to, right? So, أصبو إليهن, I will incline towards them. I'm human. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and if I end up committing the sin, I will be of those who are ignorant. Notice the word جاهلين. جاهل is a singular. You see, جاهل is not just someone who is ignorant. جاهل is also someone who has knowledge yet behaves ignorantly. Because real knowledge is not in the head. Real knowledge is in the actions. So he said, وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. If I end up listening to them, then I will be of those who are ignorant. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he chose to suffer worldly loss, but he did not want to lose his integrity. He chose to suffer in the dunya, but not in the akhirah. Right, that if I prefer this temporary pleasure, right, or relief, then I am going to lose out on eternal pleasure. So he understood his weakness, right? He admitted his humanity, that if I remain here, I will not be able to stay firm. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So look at how he's doing his best to get out of fitna. He turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He resists, right, to the best of his ability. And he begs Allah to bring him out, to take him out of that place. So what happened? فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. So his Lord responded to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his prayer. How? فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنْ. And Allah averted from him their plan. How this woman tried to seduce him. And now all of these women also, they were on the side of this woman. They agreed with her that, you're justified in your love and your passion for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned all of that away from him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Indeed, he is the hearing, the knowing. This is so beautiful because you see, Yusuf alayhi salam was all alone. He didn't have any family. He didn't have any supporters, right? He was all alone. And now all of these women had ganged up against him. And what was his only way out? Calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah responded to him because Allah is Samir. He hears. He hears your dua. He is Alim. He knows your struggle. So no matter what, call upon him and seek help from him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ. Then it appeared to them. To who? To Aziz and the rest of the people. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ. Even after they had seen the signs. And these signs are basically referring to everything that pointed towards his innocence. Right? The fact that he was so innocent. His shirt, his purity, his ihsan, his goodness. And on the other hand, how this woman now openly admitted and now she threatened him. It was evident that Yusuf alayhi salam was innocent. He was not guilty. But still what happened? They decided that لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ, that they should put him in prison حَتَّى حِين for a time. Why put him in prison? What crime did he commit? They blamed him for the fact that the women were getting out of control. They blamed him. So they thought the only way of saving their honor was to put an innocent man behind bars. And you see, this was not the first time that Yusuf alayhi salam had experienced something like this. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam were jealous, right? They had a bad relationship with their father because of their own, evil, the way that they mistreated their father, their own disobedience, their rudeness. But who did they blame? They blamed Yusuf alayhi salam. So they threw him in the well. And now again, Yusuf alayhi salam was not guilty. It was these women. But what did Aziz do and the rest of the people? They blamed Yusuf alayhi salam. They thought if they put him away in the prison, then the fitna will be gone, right? And so, this will be forgotten. And the image, the good name of the Aziz will remain. And so they decided to put him in prison and that's what they did. So Yusuf alayhi salam was now in prison. Another test in his life. So earlier it was circumstantial evidence that proved his innocence. And now this event really showed the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam. But and on the surface it seemed so unfair. But remember that no matter how much people try to harm you, they will never be able to harm you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided for you. So trust Allah's plan and surrender your affair to Allah. Entrust your affair to Allah. That, Ya Allah, this is my condition. I surrender my affair to you. You take care of me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is able to bring the very best from the most worst, from the most difficult things even that you're going through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring the best for you, as we will see in the next part of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. So inshallah we'll conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.